you know.
Okay, we're on, right? Yes.
We're on. So why don't you talk to people? Let me just say, this is Winfrey and Terry Brown, and this is our Monday night call. If you're new, we always start this way, so be patient. This is a call where we have live conversations with sources in other dimensions. Not just any source, but a source that says it created the physical universe. And we have so many interesting dialogues. And I tell people, don't believe they are who they say they are until you have a resonance. Be open to the possibility. I had to spend 3 years saying, I think they are who they say they are. And if they are, this is a very special event for you, because there's information, understandings, and resonances which have never really been presented to the human family. So listen, discern, and decide for yourself. And I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Terry Brown, and I'm going to see if I can't get our conference call on the line.
Hello, everybody out there in BBS Land. This is Terry Brown, the co-host of the Winfrey Monday Night Show. Win chooses a topic every Monday night, and sometimes he has guests on, and sometimes I do channelings, and the topic can be continued from 1 week to the next, or it might be just a one-week topic. We've been doing the show since 2007, and if you go to BBS Radio and join their archive section, you can see all of the, see all of the audios, what the audios are and the dates every Monday night. And they put up the audio there. And if you're subscribed to BBS Radio, you can hear all the audios. We also put up the audios on the Spirit Channel. And we do transcriptions also, and we put those up. It's a more disorganized section than BBS Radio. But Wynn's working on a master website, which is going to have channelings, and it's going to have lots and lots of archives and information. It's a really good website that he's been working on for weeks now. So that's going to be coming up. And you can go to our website, Message a Day. channel.net, and find out more information about this. He also has a website called Casey's Back. I believe that's .net too. So we've been channeling a source called the Elohim. And then later it was joined by the section of the Ra group, and they called themselves Ra On. Ra from the Ra group and On from the Elohim group, where the translation unit of the Elohim unit, they called themselves as the Council of On, A-H-N. I remember one time when I was channeling, they were giving me so many mathematical equations, and they were just laying out all this information for me. And I just wasn't getting that. I said, I can't understand this. I don't speak that good math. I've got a minor in mathematics in college. But this was way beyond me. They're all old over, you know, in my field, my matrix, they were showing me mathematical equations. And it was beautiful. And I wish that I could have comprehended it. But I told them, you know, can you send a translator? So since that point, usually accessing Elohim through the Council of On, and also Daphne, when she started to channel the Elohim, was accessing the Council of On. There's one really nice thing that happens when I channel. Like, I might be thinking about something worldly, like maybe paying a bill or something, and then I sit down to do the channeling, and the Elohim come in, and it's like they work with my space, and they just have this loving energy, and they just work with these things that I might be stuck on, and we get them out of the way, and then everything feels clear. And then I go into the channeling, and it lasts. After the channeling's over, sometimes I'm a little bit dyslexic, like I might push the wrong button on my phone and cut me off the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sometimes after I finish a channeling, then I'm a little bit dyslexic, and I might be putting something on the table to eat, and I ask him, do you want onions in it? And he will say he didn't want onions in it. He didn't think it would be good. And then I just put onions in it. It's like I don't have everything quite organized in this realm quite. And sometimes I just feel like I go to sleep for a couple hours. I just get infinitely tired. And like I've done a whole lot of work. And it is work. It's not ordinary type work, but it's like mental work. So that I'm exercising a part of my brain that hasn't been exercised, or people don't normally exercise. And I'll give you an example. One time I'd been doing a whole lot of channeling, and we were doing a Sunday grid healing, and we had one person stationed at the top of Mount Shasta on a meadow, and she was on her cell phone. So I'd been doing so much channeling, and it requires like focusing of the cells in the pineal gland, focusing on remote viewing a location. And so I was focusing on the top of Mount Adams we were using it for grounding because it is such a big mountain and such a big piece of rock, and it was very grounding to focus our energy on there. And we things would happen, like I was focusing on the area, and I saw a bird diving on a squirrel. And and the squirrel and the bird were, particularly the bird was squawking a lot, and trying to protect the nest. And the squirrel was trying to get in, and there, into the nest, and there was this big altercation, and it's kind of like I focus on what different things that people put in the light, and we've been focusing on the Mideast and the conflict there, and I've been really exercising my the cells in my pineal gland, just really exercising and then focusing it. And so then when I tuned into the scene, the thing I tuned into there was the scene where there was a conflict between the bird and the squirrel. But and then I was focusing on I was trying to focus on a flower, and my pineal gland muscles were so tired that I couldn't get 5 feet from the flower and look at the flower, and I would try, but my muscles were just overtaxed. My muscles of my leg might get overtaxed if I was running too much. And suddenly I could focus close in, and I was in the flower, and I could focus way out, and the flower was which was really tiny. And but I couldn't get 5 feet because my muscles were too tired, my pineal gland. And the girl on the top of Mount Shasta was listening to all this, and she sent me a picture of the flower bush, and it was exactly the flowers that I was looking at, pink, like plain pink flowers. And she had observed the conflict between the squirrel and the bird. So it's really an adventure. And it's been an adventure to get to trust it more and more. Wynn, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think the conference line is here. Let me just double check. You're doing
okay.
So good.
Can you hear me, Wynn?
I hear you. Okay. Good. We're on. All right. You did so good, I wasn't going to interrupt you. I said, geez, she could do the whole show. I think what's most interesting about what we do is all the ways that we get validation that it's really happening. You know, when you have a voice come through someone else and start talking to you, and they say they're somebody, how do you know they're who they say they are? How do you know you can trust them? How do you know they have some kind of agenda? So, you know, in the case of Terry, myself, Terry Daphne, they always said, ask us questions. And it took about 3 years of asking questions and watching things and observing things for me to say, uh-oh, I think they are who they say they are. I wasn't anxious to know that, by the way. It was like, if they really are who they say they are, it creates, and I believe it, it creates a huge responsibility on my end. Well, what am I supposed to do with this? How is this supposed to benefit other people? And it took me, and I'm still learning, how to assume that responsibility, because the voices talking to us say they created the physical universe. They have a tremendous amount of understanding of how things work and how we work and how life works and what human evolution is. And I should be recording this. I can hear. I was thinking, Wynn, remember to record this. Hang on. Let me just put in our recording codes so we get a recording.
BBS also records it, so the recording is right from the beginning. If you go to the BBS site and join their archive section, you can you can hear the whole thing part right from the beginning also.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we are being recorded, and this is Monday, April 16th, 2012. Winfrey and Jerry Brown in Sedona, Arizona. And we have a conference line of people on. And I'll tell you what, we'll let them just all say hello. Let me unmute them. Yeah.
All callers are muted.
Oh.
All callers are unmuted.
Are you guys there?
Yes.
Wow, we got a good
hello, everybody.
That's not a special effect.
All right.
I got to mute everybody again.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, everyone's unmuted now. And so we were talking about how amazing it is to have this voice talking to you. It says they created the physical universe. Actually, we have a conglomerate of two voices that have teamed up. And that is one group soul that was the original creation of the realm. Another group soul that is made up of entities that went through a series of incarnations here and graduated. In other words, got off the wheel of reincarnation. And they act as a huge team helping planets at lower levels of evolution like ours. And so in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce was channeling the group soul of graduates, if I have it correct. And we are channeling the group soul of the creators and the group soul of graduates together. And that's a lot to believe, isn't it? So don't believe it. Just consider the possibilities. One of the things that I had to learn in putting this out was, even if I came to the conclusion it was true, it was not me to tell you to believe it, because I think it's true. It's something that you have to get your own resonance with. And we give you plenty of opportunity to do that. We do 3 conference calls a week. And if you're not on all our calls and you want the schedule, just send an email to winfrey@gmail.com. Or you can actually go on the internet, conference.messageaday.net, and we have the schedule there. And one of the cool things about listening to these calls regularly is that the world's going through a lot of shifts right now, in case you haven't noticed. And there are a lot of opportunities to be fearful, to be alienated, to be separated. And on these calls, there's an energy that comes in from higher dimensions. I believe it does. The only way I can explain it, that gives you a sense of connection and continuity and support through this shift our planet's going through. And that's really important, because as we've come to understand, there's a division of souls taking place, and some are graduating and some are repeating. And people are making those choices, but they don't know they're making it. But nonetheless, that's the way it seems to work. And so just connecting with a positive energy, getting rid of your fear, are 2 things which will greatly enhance the potentials of graduating this realm during this lifetime. Now, if you don't know what that means, if you haven't read my book, there's a free book you can download, creatorgodbook.com, and please read it, because half the book is my conversations with this source that says they're the Elohim, And I ask them questions, and they talk, they answer me, and they give their take on how things work. It's very interesting. Many people just read the book and gotten triggered by reading it. And they've said their energy is in their words. And if that's true, reading the book, of course, half the book is their words. So it gives you an opportunity to tap into their energy. So our topic tonight is crop circles. And I thank Daniel Davis for sending me a YouTube, and which I actually took the time to watch. And I decided it was going to be a good topic. And during the course of this call, we're going to learn stuff that perhaps no one else knows about the origins of crop circles, because we have access to this unusual sources of information that I'm sure they know. Now, they may not want to tell us. I didn't do a dress rehearsal and say to them, are you guys willing to talk about this? So if they don't, we'll have to change the subject. But I think they will. And if you're not aware of what crop circles are, you can certainly do a Google search on it, but mainly in England, there have been these very unusual designs that would appear overnight in fields. And the designs are geometrical. The designs I'm looking at some pictures here. Here, I'll read a little bit about crop circles just to set the stage. Crop circles come in many different shapes. The most basic is a single circle. Circles may also come in sets of 2, 3, and 4. The stalks inside a crop circle are typically bent into what is known as a swirl pattern. I should mention that crop circles are usually pretty big, sometimes hundreds of feet across, and they appear overnight. The stalks inside of a crop circle are typically bent into what is known as a swirl pattern, and the circles may spin clockwise or counterclockwise. In patterns with several circles, one circle may spin clockwise and another counterclockwise. Crop circles can range in size from a few inches to a few hundred feet across. Many early crop circles were simple circular designs, but after 1990, they became more elaborate. More complex crop patterns called pictograms emerged. Crops can be made to look just like about anything, smiling faces, flowers, or even words. Sometimes they have unique designs, but they can also be based on ancient motifs. Some of the more sophisticated patterns are based on mathematical equations. Astronomer and former Boston University professor Gerald Hawkins studied crop circles and found that the positions of the circles, triangles, and other shapes were based on specific numerical relationships. In one crop circle that had an outer and inner circle, the area of the outer circle was exactly 4 times that of the inner circle. And it goes on and on and on. But in any case, this has been a tremendous mystery. And it's very rarely in the news. Nonetheless, what is causing these crop circles? Where do they come from? Why people have speculated about this for years. And many people think that it's ETs and flying saucers that are communicating with us. And when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, if you have that book, you'll notice on the back of the book is a picture of a crop circle. And in that crop circle, It's the design of the winged bird that represented Ra in Egypt. And that was the crop circle. So I did a channeling at that time, and we asked about it. I can't remember. I think it was through Terry. And I said, who's making the crop circles? And they said, by and large, the Ra group. And, of course, the Ra group is the group I was talking about earlier. It's composed of beings that graduated this realm, got off the wheel of reincarnation. And they're a huge group. It's hard to imagine how they are. I mean, I asked questions about it, and they said they were like a template of energy spread through the solar system and the universe. So in other words, they were part of the energetic flow, and they have the ability to work as a team and talk to people down here. They have the abilities to do other things as well. And I don't know of the limitations and the extent of what they can do or not do. And I don't know of the limitations of what the Elohim can do or not do. But we know that they most definitely can do things that couldn't be done by the normal laws of the physical universe. For example, the Ra group can disable weapons from going off. And I think maybe, I don't know if the Elohim could do that. Maybe they could, but they don't, because it's in the hands of the Ra group. And one of their criterias, both groups, is they honor free will. So they don't intrude on our evolution unless we ask them. Now, most people, if they knew that such groups really existed, they'd be asking. But most people don't know they exist. And it's okay if you just ask God, that'll end up going into their realm, and they can answer that, I believe. But most people aren't even sure that there's something called God. So part of the work we're doing is convincing people they exist so that if you ask for something, that there really is someone up there that can answer and help. But they don't like to be thought of as God. You can see how easily the idea of God came about, because you have this invisible source that honors free will and has their criteria that you must ask for something to happen. And that easily could turn into giving up your power and into some nameless, faceless mystery that we call God. And that's okay, because the idea of God in the traditional sense may not be the most accurate visualization, but it's close enough so that it works. They have described something that's called the one infinite creator, or maybe the first cause, the initial cause, and the Elohim, or breakaways, from the one infinite creator. And we've already had many calls talking about that, so we're not going to go into it again today. Today's topic is the crop circles. And what provoked me to pick this topic for tonight is this video that Daniel sent me. And in the video, and I sent the link out today, I suggest you look at it. There was some kind of signal that was sent into space some years ago with the idea of seeing if there was any intelligence out there that that would answer that signal. And I guess it was a radio signal of some sort. And years later, there was a crop circle that seemingly answered signal. There was a coded kind of pictograph on the signal they were sending out. And this crop circle appeared, and it had the same pictograph on it. And there was, adjoining to this pictograph, there was the face of a gray. And shortly thereafter, there was another crop circle with another face of a gray, and there was something that they were able to translate. Now, I don't know how they translated this. I haven't studied it. I'm not an expert on crop circles. Now, there's a lady I do know who is an expert. Maybe I'll have her on the show sometime. But the picture had a gray. You know what a gray is? That's like an alien that looks like one of Steven Spielberg's aliens from Close Encounters or from E.T. Those guys with big eyes and rounded heads. Now, we've had a lot of experience studying grays and asking some questions about grays. And according to our information, Terry's in mind and different sources I cross-referenced, the grays were a dying race. And somehow they got radioactive on their home planet, and it affected their genes and their ability to reproduce. And so they have been reproducing themselves by cloning, and the clones were getting weak, and they were going to die out as a race if they didn't figure out some way to fix this. So for some period of time, they have been doing hybrids with humans. And when you hear about abductions, it's usually one source of abductions, and I know abductions are real. One source of abductions is the grays who are doing hybrids and creating hybrid babies with the idea of incarnating into them, and so their race doesn't die. So now there's a picture of a gray in a crop circle with a message sent out to space. And I may not have this exactly right, but there's another picture of a gray with a message coming back. And there was somewhere they translated this, and it says, beware of those that, I really should read this directly, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Beware of those that seem to come to help you because they have an agenda.
I can read it exactly here. I have it up.
Yeah, what does it say?
Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. There is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there's that message next to a picture of a gray. Now, we know there's a lot of evidence to this. Now, I'm going to run another ET workshop, and if you haven't heard that, you should participate next time I run it, because I'll give all the details. But according to our understandings, and I am sure this is true, this gray ET race made a bargain with our government in the 40s, I believe. And in that bargain, they were going to give technological advances for permission to abduct people. And our government made the deal. And so many of the high-tech technological advances we have right now are part of that deal. But there's something wrong with the agenda, because the Greys didn't keep their end of the bargain, and they were supposed to report. There was supposed to be a limitation on how many they abducted, and et cetera, et cetera. And so there's an agenda on their part, I believe, to take over our planet, and that there's beings above them that control them that are part of it. And this crop circle is a warning to say, don't believe those who bring gifts, and there's still time. And that's why I'm talking about this. I don't like to talk about this stuff, because so many people, they're hearing it for the first time. And number one, it could be scary. And number two, they might be thinking I'm wackier than I was. And so I have to take the risk of people thinking that. But if you explore these things, there's a lot of stuff on the Internet backing it up. And the thing about it is, you don't want to become preoccupied with it, but you want to know enough about it so you have some discernment. For example, one of the things I've read is that there is one agenda of the negative to bring the planet into such a state of desperation that there would be a spaceship landing. But those ships that land are going to look like they're positive, but they're not going to be positive. And everyone will have to set everything up so that there's a predisposition to welcome them as positive and as our ET saviors. And so if this is something, if there's any remote truth to that, you're going to want to do your own study and see about that. Because one day you may have to make a decision, and you're going to need this kind of information to make that decision. So on this crop circle, there was a definite warning to humanity about that. But most people would never figure it out. And a lot of people are still thinking ETs are positive. So that's one of the reasons I chose this topic today, because it's very possible that particular crop circle was made by the Ra Group. So we're going to, without further ado, do a little protective invocation, and we're going to ask our sources about crop circles in general, what we can learn from them, how they make them, who's making them, are any of them being made by the negative. We do know occasionally some are made by humans. I don't think the humans can do as good a job, but they've caught humans running around in fields trying to chop down weeds and make something. But I don't think that's, if you look up crop circles and you look at some of the pictures, you'll see they're far too complex for even a few humans to make in a single evening. Okay. So we're going to call in the light, Father, Mother, God. We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And we will wait right now for the identification of our sources.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is the 16th of April, 2012. We are mindful of the topic that you have chosen tonight. And we see that there are alien beings that have joined us and are observing us tonight in this call. And these alien beings have been having an extremely hard time and have been seeking to make inroads into the siphoning off of the resources of planet Earth and the furthering of their race and their children, and they consider their life is dependent upon the resources. And they have grief in that they are fearful that they may not be able to survive. And they have shame in that they have not been able to perpetuate their race in a manner that is so desirous, and they have grief, and that they are backed up against the wall, and this is the heart and root of some of the agendas that they are seeking to surreptitiously or otherwise to infiltrate and bring to pass. They seek the survival of their children, and they seek the survival of their race. And they feel that they need the race of humans to bring sustenance and strength and new genes into their race. Their actions at some level are a plea for help. Those are our comments.
Are we in a safe zone talking about this on this call tonight?
It depends upon your point of view, whether you are in a safe zone. We have entered into the conversation from a safe aspect.
Yes.
We do not wish to discuss safety any longer.
Okay. Well, anyone who's listening,
it makes them very nervous. We take a look at the heart of their problem, and we send them love light.
It's my understanding.
May I ask a question, Vin?
No. About this?
Yes.
We wish to hear your host's question.
Okay, go ahead. I've been overridden.
May I ask if we love our enemy like our friend? Can there be a peaceful resolution if we as a group of humans work together on this?
They are desperate and seeking help, and they have very hard row to haul, and we see that loving your enemy like your friend, if it is done right, considering that they are backed against the wall, that you need awareness in how to deal with them, and in seeing their vibrations and you need to approach them with the knowledge that they are backed against the wall, and as one of the species of humans, alien humans, they have the flight response. They have been backed into a corner by their genetic decline and are valiantly seeking to reestablish their strength.
If they were to have asked the Elohim and Ra group for help, were there possibilities of solutions that may not have been obvious to them?
To some degree, the emotions have been read out, and they have become technological, taking the technology route, and found solace in the technology route and not thinking of the emotions of connection. Yet they feel the grief of the loss of grip upon the future of their race, and feel the solution is to create new genes, new, more, better DNA. They are very intelligent, and they have had the emotions to some degree bred out of them, and they have seeked to survive with technology and smarts, and they desperately need emotion and caring, as their bodies do not hold that. Their bodies have been programmed to be the sharpest and smartest, and to override emotion, yet they feel the emotion of loss. And stay around the edges and hoping to reestablish this connection, this ability to feel. And they can intellectually know that they, their bodies have lost the holding of that to a large degree. But as spirits, they can still feel it.
If compassion is extended towards them, can they feel that compassion?
They as spirits can. Their bodies, it has been brought out to totally resonate with that. They totally resonate with the achievements of technology. And if you enter by that door, they do feel success and affinity for this type of thing. And they do feel achievement. Over many of the years, they have lost their DNA, their programming of their bodies have lost the ability for deep connection. And their bodies have been programmed to shut it out and to move toward technology.
So,
there has been, in their past, a perceived weakness with feeling of emotion and a perceived strength in and mastery in proceeding without emotion, as if this would handle the human aspect of their life. We include them in humans in a way, although they do have this other aspect which separates them from the human race, as well as looks and the makeup of their body. They have inclined more towards inanimate silicon in their body, which does not pick up and resonate the emotions as the human DNA does, as they have been bred to take this silicon base and to weave the fabric of their body matrix with that, which then they cannot resonate within the human emotional way.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. This information is not generally known to all but a few people. Only a few people have realized what it is that is different and why the grays cannot feel emotion. It is their body makeup that has been honed over millions of years to breathe out emotion which I feel is weakness. Although as spirits, they do feel the emotion.
Now, did I understand that a silicon-based, they have a silicon-based system and we have a carbon-based system? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say that they were breeding out emotions, did they choose to do that as a race, or was that done to them by other genetic scientists?
There were several genetic scientists within their race, and they were trying to make the best race possible. And there was a consideration within the race that it was wrong to have grief and to cry and to have caring. It was an attempt to survive by being more macho, more attempt to get along with the third density, and to go along with its pain and its suffering. And they have tried very, very hard to overcome pain and suffering through developing the silicon-based system. And so the individual bodies can be more macho, can be more survivable, in that they can weather the tumultuous turns in fate by living in the third density better by having a silicon-based body.
Who made the crop circle that have been referring to at the beginning of this talk?
The crop circles are made generally by us as well, and we bring information to you in the crop circles.
Now, I hope BBS isn't going to cut us off. They haven't had a show after us. I'd like to continue this conversation a bit. If we get cut off, then we'll continue it next week, but we'll try to go a little longer. How does the Ra group make crop circles?
It is with electrical interaction with the plants, with electrical density manipulation of the straw, density manipulation with imaging the straw, and less density in some parts and more density in the other, which causes it to curl in various ways, in which we have determined to make the message imprint on the straw.
How long does it take in Earth time to complete one of these complex crop circles?
It can be done in layers. It takes a few hours.
And it's not done through spaceships or anything like that. It's done through energetic interface with the plants directly from the Ra group. Correct?
We are being watched as we do this show, and your answer is correct, but we are attracting too much attention on this show right now. We wish to close.
To a close? All right. I would like to ask that right at this moment, we take the information that we've learned on this show, and we're going to create a new moment, a brand new moment, right at this moment, where we bring in the highest realms of light projecting through the realms, through all of us, and into the earth, and rebirth this moment into a new moment. And that all of you do that and clear the space right now and establish that connection. Take a moment and bring in the energy from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the planets, through the earth, through our bodies, and into the earth. And we send love and compassion to ourselves and all beings that are in the universe that are open to receiving these energies. Take a moment and hold the silence. And we bring this show to a close. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you Wednesday when you ask questions. But I don't think we're going to take any questions on this topic for obvious reasons. Over and out. This is Winfrey Terry Brown on our Monday night conference call.
To stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.